Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What was the Republican convention like? Let's go in-depth with Representative Greg Hartzell from Columbia. Well, Greg, you just got back from Cleveland. That must have been an exciting few days.
Yes, it was kind of an exciting experience, and honored to have been asked to serve in that capacity and be elected to that from the District 2 convention. So, yes, it was kind of an exciting experience, a memorable and historic experience.
Mm-hmm. You with the Iowa delegation, how many members was
there,
that?
There were 30 delegates from the state of Iowa and 27 alternates. The National Committee Chairwoman and the National Committee Chairman and the Executive Director did not have an alternate. That's why the difference. So there was 57 of us from Iowa that went, if you include the alternates.
Well, we all know that the big deal was the nomination of Donald Trump mm-hmm. and his vice president. Those were the big deal. But then there was a lot of other activities going
sure.
on, I presume.
Sure. There was a lot of things, you know, the whole purpose of the convention, whether it's the Democratic or the Republican national convention, is to rally the base, get everyone fired up for November, to get everybody on board. I mean, we went through on the Republican side, we went through a primary and caucus season that saw 17 outstanding candidates wanting to run for that job, and everybody has their favorite, and no one won with a majority. Obviously, Donald Trump won with a plurality of those, and so it's an effort to get everyone on board of that chose other candidates as their first pick, and so that's what it was about. But there was also opportunities to hear, hear a lot of policy talk from various groups. We were on a First of the Nation cruise on Lake Erie on one of the days, and we heard from former Speaker Newt Gingrich was our keynote speaker in that. So yeah, there's a lot going on in those 4 days.
And what was the most interesting session you attended?
The most interesting session. Oh my goodness. I have to go back and think through all of that. There were a lot of good sessions, like one dealing with economic policy, one dealing with security, our national security. I think just reminding, and there's one reminding Republicans to stick to our ideals and our principles of limited government, of safety and security at home and abroad, and there were a lot of good ones. It's hard to really pick any particular one. We had one event hosted by Senator Ernst. We had one event hosted by Senator Grassley, throughout the city. Like I said, we had the First of the Nation cruise on Lake Erie with Speaker Newt Gingrich. There were just a lot of good events going on, just a lot to absorb.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the Republican National Convention with Representative Greg Hartzell. There was some concern about protests and violence even. How was that? Was there any...
Actually, and I want to give a shout out to the city of Cleveland. They did an excellent job. I had my first Uber experience in Cleveland and when we first got there. And from everyone from the Uber driver all the way down to people who were waiting on us to eat and just the whole city was very welcoming and hospitable and warm. It's kind of like the Chamber of Commerce got them all together, all 1.2 million people together, and said, hey, we want people to come back and visit Cleveland, and they outdid themselves as far as making us feel welcome. Now, as far as the police and security, they had several blocks around the convention site blocked off, and we were all bussed in. So you couldn't drive to the convention. You either had to be on the bus or you had to go through several checkpoints of security to get in. Like the one day that we came back from the cruise, we walked several blocks from Lake Erie into there, because a lot of us just wanted to get to see the city. And of course, they all warned us to take our credentials off as we were walking through the streets. But really, we were pretty much shielded from any threat or protesters or anything like that. Even when we were walking through the city, there were various groups of law enforcement from various states. I mean, I talked to troopers from Missouri and Michigan and Massachusetts and Utah, for instance. And we wanted to make sure that they knew that we appreciated what they were doing to keep us safe and secure. So every chance all of us got, we stopped to thank law enforcement, both locally and those that had been bussed in. The Secret Service was there. The FBI was there. The only real protest that I saw was when we were waiting in line. The Sunday night, they had a welcome reception for all of the delegates throughout the country. And we were standing in line for like 3.5 blocks in Cleveland to go through security at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that evening. And there was some folks that were protesting, but they were doing it very peacefully. They just had their signs. They had, I forget, different colored outfits on, and they're just walking up and down. Nobody was being confrontational or anything like that. So that's actually, we heard some of the protesters were very disappointed that they weren't able to get our attention as delegates as much as they'd wanted. But they did get the attention of the national media. But, you know, we were very safe and secure. It was, you know, kind of an uneventful situation in that regard as far as protests.
You didn't go as a Trump delegate. You went as a Senator Ted Cruz delegate.
Yes, sir.
There was talk of a contested convention to try to, you know, bring that to Cruz, and that didn't happen.
Right, and had Donald Trump not received the 1,237 votes from delegates, which is 50% plus one of the delegates, of the total delegates that were there, had he not received that, it would have been a contested race, and it would have been wide open for anyone. Now, in Iowa, when there is our Iowa rules are such that only one, when there's only one nominee, that we give all of our delegates votes to that one nominee. Now, other states are allowed to give to award them proportionally on the first ballot. Iowa, our rule states that the Republican Party of Iowa's rule states that we award them proportionally if there is more than one nominee. But when there's one nominee, our rules require that. Now, the convention rules that would supersede all of the other, this gets into the nitty-gritty, so I apologize for getting into all the nuts and bolts, but there were some states that were threatening to go against what either their state law prescribed or their state party's rules prescribed. For instance, the District of Columbia tried to cast their vote for, I forget who the first, they was going to give 10 votes to one individual and 9 votes to Governor Kasich. And the chair of the convention said, pursuant to the rules of this convention, the District of Columbia awards 19 votes to Donald Trump. So apparently they had a similar rule like Iowa did that said when there's only one nominee, you give it to that one nominee. So they were overruled by the chair. I think Utah was the same way. Utah tried to award all of its delegates' votes to Senator Cruz. And again, the chair came back, said pursuant to the convention rules, which supersede all of these votes will go to Donald Trump. So there was some of that. But in the end, the rules that the convention had adopted superseded that, and that's where. So even if we tried to break our own rules, we couldn't, because we'd have been overruled by the chair of the convention.
Yeah, he was overruling people regularly, I saw. And
that was the only two instances I could only remember. I mean, there might have been other instances, like when we were talking about, some controversy on Monday dealing with the rules, because we were trying to establish rules that closed the primary process for Republicans only. That didn't get resolved during this convention. There's talk about trying to resolve it at a later date, but in order to have resolved it, we'd have been running into our prime time TV programming for network sure. programming, and so that attempt was abandoned. But the only two, that's the, what I told you, the examples of the District of Columbia and Utah are the only two I can remember where okay. the chair overruled their votes.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the Republican National Convention with Representative Greg Hartzell. Are you a Trump guy now?
That's a good question. How do I answer that? I'll put it this way. I'm looking at what the impact, they hit a lot on what the country is going to look like under a Clinton administration. And I think that they made a really good case, not necessarily trying to be gloom and doom, but say, hey, folks, we realize that there's some of you that Donald Trump is not your first pick and maybe not your second or third pick, but you have to stop and think about what a Hillary Clinton administration would be versus a Donald Trump administration. And that was part of the message in trying to unify the party, and I think they did a good job. For me, looking at it, in my humble opinion, the country cannot get better, or we're assured that the country will not get better under Hillary Clinton. But at least with Donald Trump, there is the opportunity that things will get better. The other thing my takeaway from the convention is that we're not talking about just the next 4 to 8 years in whoever becomes the next president. In terms of the Supreme Court, we're talking about the next 35 to 40 years. And Donald Trump has already put together an impressive pool of judicial candidates that he would consider for nominating that. I'm very concerned about the type of judicial candidates that Hillary Clinton would nominate. So those two things in the back of my mind, yes, I'll be supporting the nominee from the Republican Party.
What did you think of his speech? It was off. It seemed dark to me. It painted a picture of America that wasn't exactly the shining city on the hill that we used to hear from optimistic Republicans in the past.
Well, and that was part of Governor Pence's speech. If you remember, some of mm-hmm. Governor Pence's speech was borrowing some of that shining city on a hill, and he even referenced Reagan's "We Have a Rendezvous with Destiny," and this is a time of choosing. So that was some of Pence's speech, but each night had its own theme, and it was taking off of Donald Trump's "Make America Great Again" theme. So, like, the first night was "Make America Work Again," "Make America Safe Again." The next one was "Make America Work Again." The third night was "Make America First Again," and then the last and the closing was "Make America One Again." So there was all these themes throughout the night, which I think was excellent messaging on behalf of the campaign to do it that way. And then I felt like Donald Trump, in his closing speech, took all of those themes and tied them all together in one big and wrapped it up and just delivered a really good speech in saying, this is what we're going to do. Now, he gave himself a tall order in saying, this is what I'm going to do. But I think he hit on every note that he needed to as far as unifying the party and as far as being credible to the American people in saying, this is what I'm going to fix. This is where things could go if you go the other way. This is where things will go if you elect me president.
I'll have to admit that I was sort of distracted during Governor Pence's speech by it following Senator Cruz
yes.
being booed off the stage.
That's a disappointment for me, and I have to admit that being a Cruz supporter, that was one disappointment I had, is that Ted Cruz's non-endorsement stole the show or overshadowed Governor Pence's speech, because Governor Pence had an excellent speech. He being someone that I would be you know, I think it was a great pick for Donald Trump, especially in trying to rally support with his conservative, with the conservative base of the party. I thought that was unfortunate that Ted Cruz's non-endorsement and, you know, that overshadowed, that was the headline for the next day in the media, in the news cycles, not Governor Pence, what, you know, had less about Governor Pence, more about Ted Cruz and less about Governor Pence.
Don't you think that behind the scenes you sort of work that out and you don't take, you know, you don't let that risk happen on the national stage?
Yes, I do. And I mean, I guess I put it this way, you know, and I mentioned this before, the whole idea of the convention is to rally the base. It's about supporting the nominee. Everyone that was invited, or everyone that spoke at the, on that podium, was invited by the Trump campaign. So Ted Cruz came there with an invitation, and I've used it in these terms. You don't, when you're invited to the wedding, you don't make it your purpose to insult the bride. And I think that was unfortunate. If Ted Cruz could not give a full throttle endorsement, he knew what he was saying was going to be communicated the way it was. He'd have probably been better off just to stay home. I mean, John Kasich stayed home. I mean, the governor of Ohio in his own home state stayed home. People are upset about that. Mitt Romney stayed home. Lindsey Graham stayed home. John McCain stayed home. All of these guys are looked upon as, these are guys that when the shoe's on the other foot, they expect all the rest of us to get in behind them. And it seems somewhat hypocritical of them to stay home when they're not getting their way. But at least they just stayed home and were quiet. And I think that Ted Cruz lost a lot politically by coming to the party and then doing what poking his finger in the eye of the Trump campaign rather than just stay home. And like I said, you don't come to the wedding and insult the bride.
Thanks to Greg Hartzell for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.